You have to have the right starting point. It's like golf. If you're right on at the starting point, you can nail that ball. If it's right on the dimple where it's supposed to be, down the fairway, it'll be right in the middle of the fairway. But if I'm just one or two dimples off here at the starting point, guess how far you're gonna be out there? 300 yards. Be two fairways, three houses, two dead cats. And that's why it's so important to say, Lord, you're my starting point.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Do you ever look back on life and you just kind of wish you could start all over again? Maybe your life is two or three fairways off from where it's supposed to be, and you're thinking to yourself, man, if the guy with the most strokes was the winner, I'd be wearing the green jacket right now. Well, today Pastor Wayne is going to show us that God gives us the opportunity to have new beginnings. Here he is with a message entitled, The God of New Beginnings.
I love new beginnings and I like happy endings. When God gives us a new beginning, He changes the ending for us. For that which would have been horrible is now something joyful and eternal. I love good beginnings and I love happy endings. Every single one of us can use new beginnings from time to time. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I could use a few new beginnings from time to time? Every single one of us. And you know what? Listen, God knew that. God knew that, and that's why He gave you your life, but He didn't give it to you in one fell swoop. Whether it's 70 years, 80, 50, 30, doesn't matter. What God gave to you in your lifetime, He just didn't give it to you in one fell swoop. You know what He did? He took your lifetime, and watch this, He broke it up into 365-day increments where you could start afresh because every year starts again. You know why? Because God knew the way He created us, we need new beginnings. And so He factored that in. He cut our lives into chunks called years. And all of the things that He created, the planets, the sun, the moon, the stars, so that we get a new start. And then He took that year and He broke it up into 12 months in lunar kind of fashion where it starts again and you get a chance for a new beginning. And then He took that month and He broke it up into 24-hour segments called days with a new morning and an evening. Every 24 hours, the Bible says in the book of Lamentations, God's mercies are new every morning. You see, God, the way He created us, He knew way beforehand that we would need new beginnings. And He factored all of that in. And He said, I will be the God of new beginnings. But in order to take advantage of these new beginnings, you're going to have two requirements. Would you write it in your notes? Number one, put it in the first bullet there. You got to believe in miracles. You got to believe in miracles. Because that's what new beginnings are made out of. That's right. God will need to sometimes just do a miracle. Let's read Matthew 19, 26. Go. Jesus said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You see, miracles seem to be things that every single one of us would want, we'd pray for, and we'd look for. But it's not always the case. Some time ago when I was in Hilo, we were doing a marriage counseling, and there was a husband who was kind of a contrary guy, pretty contentious and awfully defensive. The wife, on the other hand, was at least open. Their marriage was going down the drain, and he just said, it's hopeless. It's going to be a sad ending, Wayne. Sad ending. I said, no, God does not like sad endings. That's why He gives us new beginnings. That's why He gives us miracles. That's the nature of God. Revelation says, behold, I will make things new, says the Lord. He's a God who does not like sad endings. Therefore, He gives us new beginnings, and He factored it into life. Can't you understand that? It's obvious. He said, nah, it's hopeless. Marriage is hopeless. Well, his wife was hopeful, but he kept saying, nah, nothing can change. It's over. And it's like he had already made up his mind. So I stopped and I said, sir, what if God could do a miracle? What if God could do a miracle and change your heart? Nah, He can't. No, what if He could? What if God did a miracle right now, change your heart, change your marriage, and a miracle took place and your hearts were changed? If God did that in a miracle, listen, I said, would you try again? He looked at me. If God could do a miracle, I said, yeah. Would you try again? He said, no, I don't think so. It's done. Then I began to realize, see, the issue isn't can God do miracles? The issue is, are our hearts willing to believe in miracles? We've got to be willing to accept the miracle working power of God, because it's not a problem with God's ability, it's with our heart's receptivity. You've got to believe in a God of miracles. And when he does miracles, would you write in the next bullet, we must be willing to follow his lead. We must be willing to follow his lead, because God is a God of new beginnings, but what he does, he opens the door and says, follow me. He will not make your feet move for you. He will open new doors and he'll say, follow me. You see, if Jesus came here physically and stood here on this platform, he would say the very same thing he did 2,000 years ago. He'd say, come, what? Follow me. Yeah, that's what the scripture says. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Would you underline working together with him? God is saying, work with me in this, because I'm going to require your involvement. You see, that's the key, working together with him. God has everything for your future. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're not plans for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. In other words, God wants to deposit his best into your life. Now, how is that going to happen? It won't happen unless we follow him. For example, let's say there was a pro baseball dad. He had just retired from the National League, one of the best hitters of all time. He's retired and he's going to teach his son how to play baseball and bat and become a great batter. And so his son is about 12 years old. And so this guy's a pro baseball player, just retired, one of the best batters of all time. And so he says to his son, now I want you to hold it like this. That's it, just like that. Yeah, uh-huh. Now when you swing, I want you to shift your weight first. Keep your eye on that ball. Yep, and bring that around. There you go, let's try that again. Now, the father is going to sort of sustain his talent and sort of run it through his son through instruction. Now he could say to his son, hey, next time you have a little league game, why don't you just sit on the bench and I'll hit it for you and get up there. No, he can't do that. He has to instruct his son, so his desire is to take all of his talent, all of his prowess, all of his ability, his character, his love for the game of baseball, and sort of somehow deposit it, infuse it into his son. So his son is saying, like this, yeah, just like that. Now practice that, because his dad is trying to get everything in him, in his son. Now, what is going to be required for that transfer to take place? Obedience. That son has to follow everything that pro baseball dad is saying. If the dad is saying, do it like this, and the kid says, no, I like hit him anyway. I like hit him. I like whack him like that, but. Well, it's going to be useless. You see, one of the prerequisites for that father to deposit his best into his son is that son has to follow his lead. And how many times I know our Father would want to deposit his best into us. But until we believe in miracles and we're willing to follow his lead, we will miss the God of new beginnings. And so you say, well, how do I tap into this then? How do I get going on this? You know, when God gives us new beginnings, it's because we've come to a point in our life where we hit a quitting point. And God is going to say that I'm going to help you to be someone who is breaking through quitting points. Would you write that at number one? You got to be willing to be a person that breaks through quitting points. And what is that? What is a quitting point? Quitting points in our relationships, quitting points at work with a coworker, when there's a problem and the heat sort of rises in the office, okay, I bail out. Could be in a marriage where you say, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm out of here. It could be on yourself. Just give up on yourself. I'm finished, I can't do it, I'm no good. You see, there's going to be quitting points for every single one of us. But God is saying, I want to develop, when the heat turns up in a marriage or in a relationship at work, I want to give you a heat shield, as it were. Like when the space shuttle came back into the atmosphere of the earth, it had to have a great heat shield to protect it so that it could have its reentry. And the Bible talks about our heat shield when the heat turns up as faith. Let's read about it in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read it. Go. At all times, carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all of the burning arrows shot by the evil one. He's saying that faith is a shield. Now, you're going to have times where you're going to have quitting points like I do. Now, the enemy or the evil one is sort of like this. He's sort of like an enemy commander of a sub that's tracking another sub in order to destroy it. And so every turn it makes, it plots its course on his plexiglass map. And when it turns here, there it goes. Okay, here it's here now, and there it's there, okay. And what he's looking for is a certain pattern, a pattern of traverse, a pattern of journey, so that he'll say, okay, it's going to go here, it's going to go here, and according to its past patterns, it'll probably end up here. Let's take our sub and wait for him here in order to attack him, because he's plotting the course, looking for a pattern. Now, the evil one or the enemy is no different. He knows my quitting points. What's that? Well, it's sort of like this. Let's say when the heat turns up, when it's, let's say at 200 degrees, when the heat gets to 200 degrees, I bail out. Things aren't going well. Gets up to about 200 degrees with a coworker. That's it. I'm out of here. I'm finished. I quit. I just quit. Well, okay, 200 degrees heat. Yep, there it is. And then another job comes and I run into a supervisor and I have some problem with him or her. And at 200 degrees, when it gets a little too hot, and when that gets a little too hard to handle, that problem's a little too festering, and that stress is just a little too much, right at about 200 degrees, I'm out of here. I don't have to work for this place. Hey, I don't have to be here. Goodbye. And I quit. Well, the devil goes, okay, there's another one right there. 200 degrees, he's out. And then something else happens. Oh, there it is. Now he figures it out that at every time, whatever relationship it is, I hit about 200 degrees, I bail. On myself, on my God, on my marriage, on friends, on everything at about 200 degrees. So watch this. Let me show you how crafty the enemy is. He then can actually control your destiny. How? Because as you're going this way, following God, to make you turn, all he has to do is raise the heat in a situation to about 200 degrees because he knows you're going to bail. I'm going to bail at 200. So he just causes something to be a little stressful. That's it. I'm not taking this anymore. And I turn this way. If he wants me to turn that way, he just raises it up here, 200 degrees. That's it. I quit. And I turn this way. And if he wants me to turn this way, another thing happens right here. I quit. I'm out of here. He can basically, just by knowing my quitting points, he can lead me and guide me anywhere he wants to, right to a corner before he nails me. Why? Because he's plotted all my quitting points. One of the things God is going to do is increase his grace on your life as the God of new beginnings so that you will break through quitting points. That when you're ready to bail, you say, wait a minute, I can't. How do you do that? But would you write in number 2, correct back to what never changes. Correct back to what never changes. In other words, when I'm ready to bail on my marriage, I'll say, wait a minute. What did God say about me and my wife? Well, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and God hates divorce. And so I'm going to stay with my wife. Okay, so I correct back to what never changes. What's that? What God says, the Word of God. Let's read the scripture together. Go. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will remain forever. And the next one, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. You see, that's the compass. That's the absolute that doesn't change. When I lose my way, I always correct back to what never changes. Oh, you see, it's so easy to rationalize and change what God says about relationships, my commitment to Him, my faith, my calling. But God is saying, Wayne, what did I say? Well, you said, okay, that's it. But no, stay with that. But I can't. I will do a miracle and I will give you a new beginning. You must believe in miracles. I will give you a new beginning. And when I do, follow me because I'm going to pour all my best into you because you're my daughter, you're my son. And I want my best to go into you. So follow me. And all that I have for you will be deposited in you. But the prerequisite is you've got to be willing to follow through. Okay, God, well, what do I do? Well, right now, just break through that quitting point and then correct back to what never changes, what I say to you. You see, there's an old trick of the evil one who back in Genesis chapter 3, Eve was walking by this tree with fruit in the garden, and the devil appears in the form of a snake and he says, hey, Eve, psst, come here. She said, what? Hey, eat this fruit. Oh, God said that I shouldn't. Did he really say you shouldn't? He didn't mean that. No. No, he said, no. God knows that in the day that you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be open. And you'll know right from wrong. You'll be like God. Really? Uh-huh. Wow. And so she takes it and eats it. You know what the devil was saying? Here it is. If you take this, you can be like God. Basically, you're going to defy God, and you don't need God to tell you it's wrong to eat that. No. You don't need God to tell you what's right or wrong. You can decide what's right or wrong for yourself. You'll be like God. You'll be God. You play God. So you're God now, and you can decide. God might say it was wrong, but do you say it's wrong? No, then it's not wrong. How's that? You're God. Really? Yes. And so she did. And that's where sin started to go down. You see, the problem is we start to think that, hey, I can call the shots. If I think it's wrong, it is wrong. But if I don't think it's wrong, it ain't. Just because it's wrong for you doesn't mean it's wrong for me. Let's all be God. And you see, what happens is we displace God and we make God in our image and we start to decide what's right or wrong. Not the absolutes of God's word. But people, listen, in the end, God's word will be true. God's word will be the absolute compass. I guarantee that. And so what God is saying is, don't wait for the consequences of your life to teach you. No, correct back to what never changes. And don't try to play God. I will tell you what's right or wrong. Follow that, and I will pour everything I have into you. The future that I've designed for you. What a wonderful promise. The God of new beginnings. Otherwise, we think we're gods. We'll be like the two Portuguese in the mental hospital. One Portuguese guy goes, hey, I'm the Pope. The second Portuguese guy says, no, you're not. The Pope is old and you young. No, I'm the Pope. Second Portuguese guy says, hey, listen, the Pope lives in the Vatican. You live in Hawaii. You're not the Pope. He said, I am the Pope. Second Portuguese guy said, who told you you're the Pope? God. Second Portuguese guy says, I did not tell you that. We get all messed up. We just get insane when that stuff happens. Well, where do you start then? Where do you start? Would you write in number 3? You gotta have the right starting point. Would you write that in? Start or have the right starting point. Well, what is that? Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:17. Go. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone. A new life has begun. You see, when you become a Christian, which means that you open your heart to receive God's best, and it starts with Himself, receiving Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. When that happens, a new life has begun, or a new beginning takes place. How? It starts with us opening our hearts to Christ. Let's read the next scripture. Go. Salvation that comes from trusting Christ. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. God is saying, open your heart first. And when you believe or trust in Christ in your heart, then that makes you right with God. In other words, it gets God's attention. But when I confess or make that step of faith and say, Lord, what we do around here is we raise our hand, Lord, I open my heart to receive you as Lord and Savior. You're making a confession. That's when salvation takes place. In other words, God is saying, follow me, and we make that move. It is that working together with Him that causes a new beginning. That's the starting point. You see, that's exactly what happened with me. I was invited to something somewhat like this, and I heard that invitation. At that time, you see, I thought the thing that would guide my life were things that I made up. Crystals. I had tarot cards, I Ching, to try and figure out what my future would be. We would do all kinds of stuff. We'd have amulets, good luck charms, thinking that that was good enough, depending on that. But my life was going from bad to worse. I remember one guy saying, just tie a tea leaf on your car, everything will be fine. I thought, no way. And we start to depend on stuff. And then if we go from point A to point B and there's no accident and there was a tea leaf on our car, we think, oh, it was a tea leaf, that's why. No. We'd be like the Porgy guy in Mililani. He takes colored paper and shreds it up, and colored paper is all over his yard. His neighbor's looking over the fence and said, hey, mano, how can you get colored paper all over your yard? He said, oh, it's shock repellent. Keep the shocks away. The neighbor said, mano, no more shocks within 20 miles of this place. He said, see how good it works? Sometimes we depend on, that has nothing to do with it. And you see, the Bible says, in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way. You have to have the right starting point. You miss that, you miss it all. It's like golf. If you're right on at the starting point, you can nail that ball. If it's right on the dimple where it's supposed to be, down the road, down the fairway, it'll be right in the middle of the fairway for me, like 320 yards, 340 yards. But if I'm just one or two dimples off here at the point of contact, the starting point, guess how far you're going to be out there, 300 yards. Be two fairways, three houses, two dead cats. That's how far off you'll be. If you're just that far off on the starting point. And that's why it's so important, moments like this, so incredibly important to say, Lord, you're my starting point. I want to open my heart to you to receive you as Lord and Savior. It'll be the most eternal decision that you'll ever make. That's what delights heaven. It's when we take it to heart and say, Lord, would you come into my life? Because I want that to be my starting point. I want to believe in miracles. And so, Lord, you have my heart. I will follow you. And every time should I lose my way, I will correct back to that which never changes. Because you are the one who is the anchor of my soul. Your word is absolute. And when I break through quitting points, God's grace floods your life. And guess what? You'll start to understand and enjoy the God of new beginnings.
You've just heard a message entitled The God of New Beginnings by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website where you'll find more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, including his messages on podcast. You can also find Pastor Wayne's daily devotional. That web address is www.enewhope.org. Again, that's enewhope.org. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.